Hello and good morning. Today I will be talking about what is multi-server administration and how you can leverage its advantages in an enterprise environment. Before getting into this presentation, I want to discuss about the scenarios where you can use this feature. Let's say you have multiple instances and you know there are a few tasks that are common across all the instances. Example, taking backup of all databases, rebuild, reorg indexes on all of your tables in a database, which are common across all instances, or say shrinking transaction logs for databases, which are common. So in general, what we do is connect to each instance and create and schedule jobs accordingly. We have to create operators, alerts in each instances to notify for job success or failure. If we want to change the schedule of these jobs, then we have to connect to all the required instances again and then make the changes, which is very time consuming. Just imagine how good it would be if we make changes to one instance that gets reflected to all other instances we want. This reduces the time and effort of DBA. Well, this can be achieved by setting up master and target server configuration that we call as multi-server administration. In this PPT, I will be discussing about what it is and how is it useful, how jobs are processed in MSX and TSX configuration, authentication methods, polling intervals, how frequently TSX queries MSX, different types of jobs in MSX and TSX environment, and the encryption options. And, of course, following with a quick demo. What it is and how is it useful? So what is multi-server administration? Automating administration across multiple instances of SQL Server is called multi-server administration. Let's take an example of creating a backup job in multi-server environment. For this, we need one backup job with job steps, operator to notify in case of backup failure, and execution schedule for the backup job. Now, this job needs to be created on one server, that is on master, and all the target servers will automatically download this job. So how does it download the job? I will discuss this in the coming slides. What do we need to set up multi-server administration? We need two or more servers. A, master server, we call it as MSX. B, target server, we call it as TSX. How job is processed in MSX and TSX configuration? Jobs are posted in MSX. TSX pick up the jobs with schedules. TSX runs the job locally. TSX reports back to MSX. I will discuss about how does TSX picks the job from MSX in the coming slide. MSX and TSX authentication. How does TSX connects to MSX? There are two modes in which TSX connects to MSX. A, Windows authentication. B, SQL authentication. How do we identify or change the way TSX connects to MSX? We use GUI or registry dword value called as regular MSX connections, which determines the authentication mode. If 0, then it's Windows authentication. If 1, then it's SQL authentication. You can find this registry dword under HKEY local machine, software, Microsoft, Microsoft SQL Server, MSSQL.x, SQL Server agent. Enlisting requirements. One of the requirements in setting up MSX and TSX configuration is enlisting. For TSX, TSX instance build must be greater than or equal to MSX instance build. TSX startup agent account should be a login in MSX. For MSX, we need MSX operator, which is the only operator that can receive notifications for multi-server jobs. A TSX agent startup account should be added to the target server role in MSDB database of MSX. Agent startup account is recommended to be Windows domain account. Polling intervals. Important setting in multi-server administration is configuring the polling interval. So what is polling interval? Polling interval defines how frequently the target server connects to master server to download instructions and upload the results of job execution. Defaults every 60 seconds. You can change this interval either by using GUI or making changes to registry dword, MSX poll interval. How does target server get the information from master server? Target server reads the operations assigned to it from a table called as sysDownloadListTable in the MSDB database on master server. Operations are posted to sysDownloadListTable in either of the following ways. explicitly by using the sp underscore post underscore msx operation stored procedure, or implicitly by msx. Example, execute msdb.db.sp_post_msx operation, insert the job and the job name. Job types. Basically, there are two types of jobs, A, multi-server, B, local. In MSX, jobs can be local or multi-server. For local jobs, sysjobs.originating server ID equals to 0. And if it's a multi-server job, then sysjobs.originating server ID is greater than 0. For TSX, jobs on TSX are always local that can be created or downloaded from MSX. For created, sysjobs.originating server ID is equal to 0, and for the jobs that are downloaded from MSX, the sysjobs.originating server ID is greater than 0. Setting encryption options on target servers. Registry value MSX encrypt channel option decides the encryption type in use. You can find the D word under the registry hive HKEY local machine, software, Microsoft, Microsoft SQL Server, instance name, and the SQL Server agent. Value for the registry MSX encryption channel option can be either 0, 1, or 2. If it's 0, disables encryption. If 1, enables encryption between MSX TSX, but certificate validation is not required. If SQL Server doesn't find any certificate in server, then it uses the self-signed certificate to encrypt the packets. If 2, enables full SSL and certificate validation is required. In this case, SQL Server looks for valid certificate. If valid certificate is not found, then adding target server to master server fails. Now let's take a quick example of how to configure master server and target server and how to identify and configure multi-server jobs. In my environment, I have two instances, SQL 2008 SP1 and SQL 2005 instance. For MSX to configure multi-server administration or to configure multi-server jobs, the TSX instance build should be greater than or equal to the MSX instance build. In my case, the master server is on build 9.0.1399, which is SQL 2005 RTM build. And my target server is on SQL 2008 Service Pack 1. In this demo, SQL 2005 instance is my master server and SQL 2008 Service Pack 1 is my target server. Now let's go ahead and configure the master server. To configure the master server, right-click the SQL Server agent. You have an option, Multi-Server Administration. When you click on the Multi-Server Administration, you'll find Make this as a target server, which comes up with a wizard. When you click on Next, you can give the email address, the pager address, or the NetSend address. When you click on Next, you can expand the database engine. When you expand the local server groups, it will list out all the instances which are registered. For MSX and TSX configuration, all the instances which are participating in the multi-server administration should be registered servers. So in my case, I'm selecting the SQL 2008 instance. Click on Next. This will tell the compatibility options. If it's not compatible, you'll see a failure status. You can click on Close. In my case, I'm using the SQL Server startup account to access the master server. You can see a pop-up which states you must ensure that the SQL Server agent startup account have rights to the master server. In my case, the service account who is starting the SQL Server agent is a valid login in my SQL Server. Finish. And this would enlist the TSX progress. As you could see, create MSX operator, which is success. Make sure the agent service for my SQL 2005 is running, which is success. Enlist 2008 into 2005 instance, whose status is also success. Closing this. After the wizard completes, you see my SQL 2005 instance as MSX and SQL 2008 instance as TSX. Let's go ahead and create a job and let's identify how do we create a multi-server job or how do we create a local job. Right-click the jobs. Let's go ahead and create a new job. I'm giving the name of my job as new job. Steps. Let's include a simple step. Let's go ahead and create a schedule. I'm using a default schedule. In this case, I'm creating a local job. This is not a multi-server job. Click on OK. After job is created, once you expand the local jobs, you can find the new job that we have created. In the multi-server jobs, you don't find the job that we have created. The job one that you're seeing is an old job that I have created, but the job that we have created is new job. So now let's see, how do we convert a local job to a multi-server job? Right-click the new job that we have created, go to its properties, go to targets, select the other radio button, and select the instance and click on OK. So as soon as you made the local job as a multi-server job, you see the job getting listed under multi-server jobs. Now, in order to identify what is being posted, you can look at the sysdownload list table. So I'm querying the sysdownload list table, which gives me about the information that is being posted to sysdownload list table. In our case, the MSX has used its stored procedures to post all the jobs to the sysdownload list table. As you could see, the date posted and the date downloaded. When the date downloaded, it is null, which clearly states the particular job has been not downloaded at the target server. Let's go ahead and refresh. As you could see, the new job is created on the target server. Now let's go ahead and re-execute the same command and identify what is listed under date downloaded. As you could see, the date downloaded has been populated and it's not null this time, which clearly states that this job has been downloaded by the target server. I'll go ahead and check, can we go ahead and make any changes to the job which has been downloaded at the target end? Let's go ahead and look at it. When I look at its properties, look at the schedule, I don't have any option to make any changes to the job that's been downloaded by the target server. So this is how we create multi-server jobs, and how do we monitor is by setting up the multi-server administration. If you want to defunct the instance from the multi-server administration, right-click the SQL agent, go to the multi-server administration, you have an option called defect. So as soon as you click on defect, you see successfully defected from the MSX. Now we have rollback, and now there is no multi-server configuration in place. As soon as you defect the target server, let's go ahead and look at the jobs. Do we see the multi-server jobs still in place? Let's go ahead and look at it. Once I expand jobs, I don't see something called as multi-server jobs. I only find the jobs which are local. So the job that we have created, the multi-server job, new job, now is a local job. Let's go ahead and check in the target server. Do we see the multi-server jobs still in target server? I expand jobs. I don't find the job that we have created. This is how you can create a multi-server job by setting up master and target server configuration that we call as multi-server administration. This ends our presentation and a small demo. Hope you liked it. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to drop me an email. My email address is phanir@microsoft.com. Thank you.